The reading is taken from Joshua, and it's chapter 1, and in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 216. The Lord commands Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. To the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, and you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
So as I say, we're beginning this new session in the book of Joshua. Joshua's an amazing book, a wonderful book of adventure. And the title we give this bit today is Secrets of Successful Living. Now, what does that mean? Secrets of successful living. We interviewed Haley on Friday, as I said, and I asked the last question. And the last question was, how will we know if you're doing a good job? How will we know if you're being successful? And she answered that very well. But how do we measure success? How do you know I'm doing a good job here? That's a dangerous question, isn't it? Well, we're not quite sure. How do you measure success? How do we measure success in our lives, personally in our world? How do you measure success in your life? By the house you live in? The money you have in the bank? Your popularity? Health? Ambition? How do you measure whether your life is being fruitful? Successful? Prospering? How do you measure that? Well, we're going to see what it means for Joshua to be successful, to be prosperous. Joshua had an overwhelming task. God calls him, God gives him this job to do. I want you, Joshua, to take the people into the promised land. They have been wandering the desert for 40 years, running in circles, nomads. Before that, they had been slaves in Egypt, 400 years. And they're about to approach a land that was promised to them, the promised land, that was full of well-fortified cities, full of strong and well-armed people, people that in their own eyes, as they sent in spies to the land, seemed like giants to them. How are they going to succeed? This was an overwhelming task for Joshua. Was it impossible? Well, humanly speaking, it was pretty impossible. They had wandered the desert with a motley crew. And now verse 5 and 6 of Joshua 1. God speaks. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people into inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Moses was a legend, wasn't he? We know Moses really well. He led those people all those years. He was a big name to follow, a hard act to follow, big shoes to fill. How could anybody follow Moses? It's a bit like Alex Ferguson. We showed him last week, the manager of Man United. Managed them for 20 odd years, won everything many times. How could anybody follow someone like him? And his chosen one was David Moyes, and he didn't last for very long. And every manager along the way since then has not been successful. Such a hard act to follow. Or Nelson Mandela. How can you follow a Nelson Mandela? World renowned, revered. People hanging on his words. How can anybody follow an act like that? So how can anyone follow someone like Moses? But Joshua didn't need to be fearful. He didn't need to worry at all. Why? Because God was with him. He was called by God and he was with him. Whenever we think about godly people today, you know, we think about a Joshua or a Moses or a David or a Peter or a John or whoever it might be, and we think, God was with them. But God's not really with me today. It's not really for today. These great heroes of the faith that we read about in the Bible, they're world famous. But God is not with me like that. But is that the case? No, God is the same God today as he was yesterday and he was in the time of Moses. And God is with us in exactly the same way, by his Spirit. He tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. He tells us to be strong and courageous. And that is what it had to be for Joshua. Strong and courageous because God was with him. God didn't say to him, I want you to be strong and courageous and believe in yourself. You can do this, Joshua. I'm giving you this job to take these people into this promised land. You can do it. Believe in yourself. And again, isn't that what we hear today? How many people say, you know, if you really want something, you can achieve it. You can do it if you really put your mind to it. But for Joshua, he would succeed not because of anything that he would do, but because of what God would do through him. God said, don't believe in yourself, believe in me, trust in me, have confidence in me. Back in Matthew chapter 14, remember that story of Peter getting out of the boat? Jesus calls him to get out of the boat and to walk in the water, kind of scary thing to do. But if you want to walk in the water, you've got to get out of the boat. And he walked towards Jesus as he looked at Jesus. And he was fine as he looked at Jesus, had his trust in him. But as soon as he looked around and he saw the choppy waves and the wind that was blowing, he began to sink. No, he couldn't trust in his own ability to walk on water. He had to trust in Jesus. So when those disciples were in the boat on that really stormy night, and some of these were seasoned sailors, but they were frightened to death, but they couldn't have confidence in themselves. They had to go to Jesus. They had to trust in him. And he was the one that calmed the wind and the waves. Joshua chapter 1 verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. But this next bit, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. This book is God's word, the Bible. You cannot overestimate this book. We thought about it a few weeks ago, how this has absolute authority to speak into our lives. There's no other book. This is God's word. Written by about 40 different authors, 66 books over about 1,500 years, but God breathed, God inspired. Jesus accepted this book as his Father's word, and he saw himself all the way through it. We cannot overestimate this book. Listen to what the kings of Israel had to do. This is from Deuteronomy 17. This is for everyone who would become a king of Israel. When he becomes the king and sits on the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself a scroll, a copy of the law, the Bible, taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of his law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites, or turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. Every king had to write out a copy of the law, of God's word, on a scroll. They probably had many copies from other kings. He probably had a secretary who could write it out for him, but no, he had to write it out himself. To do it himself. To have his own copy himself. He had to write it out in his own hand and keep it with him and meditate on it day and night so that he might not be swayed, that he might have his eyes fixed on God, so that God would be in his heart and then he would find success. He may have been a king over a great kingdom. He may have had authority, but he was under God's authority. So he had to write it for himself. Writing things down is good. Taking notes during a talk in church is a really good way to help you remember it. We know that. Maybe you got lines at school, Mark. Probably you did. I must do my homework. No, you never did. Andy, I must bring in my homework neatly written. I must bring in my homework neatly written. I must. There's something about writing something down that impresses it on our minds. But there's no point in writing it unless you read it. And there's no point in reading it unless you apply it. But that is what a king had to do. And that is what we are called to do as well. To let this book roll over us. Rule over us. This is God's word to us. Don't think that this book is archaic. Don't think that it has nothing to say to you. This book should rule over our lives completely. Should rule over our family, over our business, over our hobbies, over our studies. It should speak to every area of our lives. This book cannot be overestimated. That's why a king had to write it down. Verse 10. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you for your own." Get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan. But you see what God is saying? He says, you will take possession of the land the Lord is giving you. God has given you something. But you have to take it. Battles would have to be fought. It wouldn't be easy. But this is the pattern all the way through the book of Joshua. God gives them the land as they take the land. And the same is true in our Christian lives. If we choose to follow Jesus, if we become a Christian, and if we expect God to do all the work and to transform us without any input from ourselves, then we will be disappointed. We'll be frustrated. It won't happen. Or if we expect to be able to do it ourselves, thinking, I'm disciplined, I can do this, without any input from God, then we're going to be disappointed as well. We need to have that balance of God giving and we taking. God gave the land as they took the land. So we have to play our part as God does his work. Philippians 2 says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. There it is. As we work, he works. Work out your salvation. That's for us to do. As God works in us. As we work, he works. Have you ever felt that your Christian life hasn't really grown? Do you look at your Christian faith in despair? Do you think, I'm not what I should be, not what I want to be? Well, we don't need to despair. But we do need to work. We need to apply all these things that we know. A godly life requires discipline. Got this little book, maybe you've read it, Richard Foster. Disciplines are celebration of discipline. Celebration of discipline. There's lots and lots of books like this. But it talks about prayer and study and fasting. It talks about solitude and submission and service. It talks about worship. All these things just don't happen. We have to take hold of them. Do you want to be a person of prayer? It doesn't just happen, because everything within us wants us not to pray. Everything within us wants us not to live a holy life. We fight the battle of the flesh and the world. The world doesn't want us to follow Jesus. They want us to follow anybody else but Jesus. There are battles to be fought. And when we take that step into God's kingdom, we have to fight them. But he is working within us to give us that success. But it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come cheap. There is a battle to fight. So we want to grow in our faith. But we have a responsibility that it's not only us that grow, but we have a responsibility to others. Look what it says in verse 12. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all you fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land your God is giving them. So he mentions three tribes. He mentions the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. You're probably thinking, who are they? What's all that about? Well, there's a picture up here of the promised land as it was going to be. So there's the Jordan. You see the Sea of Galilee, the little blue bit, and you see the Dead Sea at the bottom, and the River Jordan running down the middle between the two. And over on the right-hand side, over in the east, you'll see it says Camp of the Israelites. So this is where the Israelites were. But three tribes have been given land here, and it's these three tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was such a big tribe that they took two lots. One of them was going to be on the left-hand side, but half-tribe of Manasseh was going to be on the right-hand side. There was little resistance there. They could set up camp. They had come into their promised land. They could put down roots and live their lives. There was no resistance. The resistance was going to come when they crossed over the River Jordan. They were going to fight against all of these people over here who did not want them to take over their land. That's where the battle was going to be. And Joshua said to the people who were on the east side of it, they said, you can leave your children and your families and your livestock, but you, the fighting men, must cross over the Jordan with your brothers and help them to take the land that God has promised them. This is what this is about. They had a responsibility not just to bring to save themselves, to come into their own inheritance, to find their own rest. They had a responsibility to the rest of the nation. And so it is with us, those of us who are followers of Jesus. We have a responsibility not just to develop our own faith, but to encourage faith in others around us. Those who are struggling, those who are without vision, those who don't know what quite to do or how to move forward into the land. We have a responsibility to each other, all the people around you. You have a responsibility for. It really comes to the fore whenever we baptize a child and we make that promise. We say, this child isn't just the child of the parents. We become parents to this child as well. We will love them. We will pray for them. We will encourage them. We have a responsibility to them. But we have a responsibility to each other. And not only a responsibility to each other in a church, but we have a responsibility to Greystones, to Wicklow, to the world. If we have this great truth, why would we not want to share it? So that's what that little bit is about. Not just looking at ourselves, but looking outwards. It's easy to say, I'm okay, and relax. I'm going to heaven. But no, we have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to the world to bring this good news so that they too might become children of a king and have this life that is eternal. And very finally, there's so much in this chapter to learn, so many bits and pieces. But this book is primarily a book about Jesus. How can this book be about Jesus? It's about Joshua a long, long time before Jesus was born. No, this is the book about Jesus. No, you got that wrong. Remember Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus with some disciples? And it said that he took all the scriptures and he taught them about himself from them. This also is a book about Jesus. And it's interesting that the name Joshua is exactly the same name, a Hebrew version of the name Jesus. It's exactly the same name. You could put Jesus in here. It is exactly the same name. And for these people, they were going to the promised land, but they needed to follow the right leader. No one but Joshua could have taken them in. Joshua was the chosen one, the one whom God called and placed courage within. They had to follow the right leader to make it to the promised land. And for us, we need to follow the right leader also. We need to follow Jesus. That is what this is. This is a book teaching us that the one who can take us into God's kingdom is the one named Jesus, and no one else can. Jesus needed to be strong and courageous. This is a book all about him. And who are we in the story? Well, we're not really Joshua, although there's bits and pieces that we can learn from Joshua. We're the people. Jesus is Joshua. We're the people who follow where he leads. And that's the very last bit of this section. The people in verse 16, they were totally committed to following Joshua. The people said, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go." They knew he was going to take them to a good place. He wasn't going to lead them into danger. God was with them. They just needed to trust and follow. And so do we. Jesus has taken us to a good place. He is our leader. We must follow our leader. There are so many other leaders out there who would lead us astray. So many other ways to live that might seem interesting, fulfilling, fun, exciting. But only one leader can lead us to life. In a land where God is, a land flowing with milk and honey. That is a picture of God's kingdom, an eternal kingdom, where God is there and we are there, loved by him, protected by him, and we flourish under his rule. This is a book about Jesus.